In November 1978, deep in the Guyanese rainforest, over 900 members of a religious group known as the People's Temple perished in a remote settlement called Jonestown. Led by a charismatic preacher, the event unfolded amid claims of coercion, cyanide, and external pressures, sparking questions about whether it was mass suicide, murder, or something orchestrated from the shadows. Welcome to True Crime Sleep Stories, where the veils of history and hidden agendas part to reveal tales that linger in the mind. Tonight's episode delves into the Jonestown Massacre, a tragedy tied to the People's Temple and its leader, Jim Jones, with layers of conspiracy adding to the enigma. Settle in, let the evening unfold, and trace the path of this haunting chapter. Power, when wielded by a charismatic figure, can become a dangerous elixir for those seeking refuge from life's hardships. In times of personal or societal turmoil, poverty, discrimination, or disillusionment, people often yearn for a savior to offer purpose and belonging. Jim Jones mastered this manipulation, presenting himself as a beacon of hope to those battered by the world's woes. His early sermons in Indianapolis promised racial equality, community, and salvation, drawing in the marginalized with visions of a better life. By blending Christian rhetoric with socialist ideals, he tapped into the vulnerabilities of his followers, many of whom were African Americans facing systemic racism or families struggling in poverty. Jones's charisma, coupled with staged miracles like faith healings, created an illusion of divine authority, binding followers to his will. This psychological grip, built on promises of solace, set the stage for control, coercion, and ultimately, tragedy, as devotion turned to blind obedience in the jungles of Guyana. James Warren Jones was born on May 13, 1931, in Crete, Indiana, a small rural town during the Great Depression. His father, James Thurman Jones, was a disabled World War I veteran, and his mother, Lynetta Putnam Jones, worked various jobs to support the family. Jones grew up in poverty, often neglected, and developed an early fascination with religion and death, attending local churches and holding mock funerals for animals. As a child, he was influenced by Pentecostal services and figures like Father Divine, a Black religious leader known for communal living and charity work. Jones later claimed divine inspiration, preaching to neighborhood children and aspiring to become a minister. In 1951, Jones moved to Indianapolis, where he attended Indiana University and Butler University part-time while working as a hospital orderly. He married Marceline Baldwin in 1949, a nurse who shared his interest in social justice. Jones began preaching in local churches, emphasizing racial integration and equality during a time of segregation. In 1955, he founded the Wings of Deliverance, later renamed the People's Temple Full Gospel Church in Indianapolis. The group focused on helping the poor, providing food, clothing, and medical care, attracting a diverse congregation, including many African Americans disillusioned with traditional churches. By the early 1960s, Jones's paranoia grew, fueled by fears of nuclear war after reading an Esquire magazine article listing safe places from fallout. In 1961, he visited Guyana briefly while establishing a short-lived mission in Brazil. In 1965, he relocated the People's Temple to Redwood Valley, California, with about 140 followers, believing it a safe haven. The group incorporated as the People's Temple of the Disciples of Christ in 1965, affiliating with the denomination in 1960, and Jones was ordained in 1964. In California, the temple expanded, opening branches in Ukiah, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, drawing thousands with Jones's staged faith healings and messages of socialism wrapped in Christian rhetoric. Jones's leadership style became increasingly authoritarian. He demanded loyalty, separating families, encouraging members to inform on each other, and using public humiliation and physical punishments. He claimed to be a reincarnation of figures like Jesus and Lenin, promoting apostolic socialism. The temple's humanitarian efforts, like soup kitchens and drug rehabilitation, masked internal abuses. By the 1970s, Jones had political influence in San Francisco, supporting Mayor George Moscone's 1975 election and earning appointments to city commissions. However, defectors' stories of coercion and abuse led to media scrutiny, prompting Jones to accelerate plans for a remote settlement. In 1974, the temple leased over 3,800 acres in northwestern Guyana near the Venezuelan border, retroactively approved in 1976. Jonestown was envisioned as a socialist utopia, free from U.S. interference. Construction began, and by 1977, amid growing investigations, Jones and hundreds of others relocated there. The population peaked at around 900 in 1978. Life in Jonestown involved long work hours in fields, inadequate food, and constant surveillance. Jones broadcast paranoid sermons over loudspeakers, staging white nights, mock suicide drills to test loyalty. His health declined due to drug abuse, including amphetamines and sedatives, exacerbating his delusions of government persecution. Tensions escalated in 1978. Defector Deborah Layton Blakey escaped in May, providing an affidavit detailing abuses, food shortages, and suicide rehearsals. Concerned relatives, a group of former members and families, lobbied U.S. officials. A custody battle over John Victor Stowen, a child Jones claimed as his own, intensified scrutiny. U.S. Congressman Leo Ryan, responding to constituents' concerns, planned a fact-finding trip. On November 14, 1978, Ryan arrived in Georgetown with a delegation including journalists, embassy officials, and concerned relatives. On November 17, Ryan's group visited Jonestown, initially greeted with staged hospitality, meals, entertainment, and testimonials. However, notes from residents requesting to leave revealed discontent. 15 members, including Vernon Gosney and Monica Bagby, defected. On November 18th, as Ryan prepared to depart with the defectors, more joined, totaling about 16. At the Port Kaituma airstrip, temple members ambushed them, killing Ryan, three journalists, Don Harris, Bob Brown, and Greg Robinson, and defector Patricia Parks, while wounding nine others, including U.S. Embassy official Richard Dwyer and defector Jackie Speier. Simultaneously in Jonestown, Jones declared a revolutionary suicide. A vat of grape flavor aid laced with cyanide, Valium, chloral hydrate, and other drugs was prepared. The death tape, FBI number Q-042, recorded Jones urging compliance, overcoming resistance from Christine Miller, who suggested alternatives like relocating to Russia. Children were poisoned first via syringes, then adults drank. Armed guards prevented escapes. Over 900 died, including 304 minors. Jones was found with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. In Georgetown, four Temple members, including Sharon Amos, committed murder-suicide on Jones's orders. Initial reports underestimated the toll at 400, rising to 909 as bodies were discovered layered. The U.S. military airlifted remains to Dover Air Force Base for identification, a process complicated by decomposition. Autopsies confirmed cyanide poisoning with evidence of forced injections in some cases, needle marks on arms and backs. Survivors included about 80 in Guyana, mostly defectors or those absent, like Laura Johnston Cole, who was in Georgetown and later rebuilt her life as a teacher. The People's Temple dissolved, declaring bankruptcy. Larry Layton was convicted in the U.S. for conspiracy in Ryan's murder, serving 18 years. Charles Gary and Mark Lane, Temple lawyers, survived by fleeing into the jungle. In 2011, a memorial was dedicated at Evergreen Cemetery in Oakland, California, honoring the victims, though controversies arose over inscriptions. Conspiracy theories emerged soon after, suggesting external involvement. Some claim Jonestown was a CIA mind control experiment linked to MKUltra, a real program from 1953 to 1973 involving LSD and hypnosis. Theorists point to Jones's alleged ties to the agency, the mass deaths as a test, and needle marks as evidence of coercion. Books like Michael Myers's Was Jonestown a CIA Medical Experiment? In 1988, argue the settlement was a site for behavioral modification, with the massacre covering it up. Other theories posit CIA infiltration to monitor radical groups or use Jonestown for Cold War operations, given Guyana's socialist government and proximity to Cuba. Rumors include Jones as a CIA asset with funding or protection and post-massacre cover-ups, like delayed body counts or evidence tampering. Some allege U.S. Special Forces or British Black Watch troops executed victims, not suicide. Decades later, unclaimed remains were found in a Delaware funeral home in 2014, identified as 9 Jonestown victims and cremated. Annual memorials continue with survivors like Cole educating on cult dangers. The site, reclaimed by jungle, stands as a reminder of unchecked power. The Jonestown massacre remains a stark example of charisma turned destructive, with over 900 lives lost in a remote jungle. Official accounts point to Jim Jones's control and the group's isolation as the catalyst, yet conspiracy theories of CIA experiments and cover-ups persist, fueled by the era's secrets and unanswered details. Survivors rebuilt amid grief, but the full truth lingers in the shadows of history. Thank you for joining us for True Crime Sleep Stories. If the Jonestown saga intrigued you, share it with others and leave a review on your platform of choice. Head to our links and social media for additional episodes, resources, and support options. Follow us on YouTube for updates on more cases. Until next time, sleep soundly and ponder the unseen.